So, but welcome everybody to week five in To Live as Christ. So this is our sermon series through the book of Philippians, and I hope you've all been blessed by this. This is really, remember when we taught through the book of Nehemiah on Thursday nights when we were building our core group up, that was good, but this is really, what do they call that, Pastor Dave? Low-hanging fruit. If you can't preach through Philippians, it may not be something that you are called to do. But anyways, this is our fifth week in To Live as Christ. And so we're going to finish Philippians chapter 2 this morning. So if you want to follow along in your Bibles, we also should have most of the scriptures up on the screen. But we are in Philippians chapter 2, and we are in beginning in verse 19 through the end of the chapter. So Paul picks it up here. He says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me." Let's pray, and then we'll go ahead and get to work. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for this great morning, Lord, for what you're doing at the Way Church. Lord, it's just really the foundation continues to be laid. Lord, we thank you for the people that are here. We thank you for our church family that could not be here this morning. And God, as we just keep taking steps forward, I pray that you would just continue to guide us. And Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear this passage of scripture this morning. Father God, as we respond to this later through song and communion and giving and fellowship, Lord, just be glorified with everything that we say and do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So this passage of scripture here is really a great passage of scripture. And it's one that we might be tempted to kind of just gloss over a little bit. There's no bombastic one-liner verses, "I can do all things through Christ," and we'll get to that, or, you know, "I'm crucified with Christ," or "For God so loved the world." Some of those one verses you could almost preach, you know, multiple sermons on, and yet we don't have any of those bombastic verses in and of themselves this morning, but yet what we have is a sweet, awesome passage of scripture that really highlights how important each and every person in the church is. Everybody that is a follower of Jesus is valued. We have gifts. There are things that we can contribute. And really, we see Paul here highlighting two of his fellow servants. And Paul kind of has that mindset. He knows that people look to him for leadership. And he is a leader, and he's a called apostle, and he's writing scripture. And yet, he's also highlighting the value in sending Timothy to the Philippian church, and then also sending Epaphroditus as well, okay? And really highlighting to everybody how important each moving part of the church is. And I want you all to think about that. I want us all to have that mindset this morning that our church family is important, and we want to help each other and live life together. I know a lot of us have just recently, less than a year, have kind of come together, and yet it's been really neat to see different people starting to connect. And as our church matures and grows, We really want to see that happen as well. You see a genuine love that Paul has for Epaphroditus, for Timothy, and for the Philippian church, and how he wants that to continue as well. We need each other. We need each other as a church family, and that's really where Paul's heart is in this passage this morning. Philippians 2:19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth as a son with the Father, has served with me in the gospel. Yes. First thing we really want to notice here is Paul's heart to say, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you. And he's going to highlight the work that Timothy has done for Jesus ultimately and to Paul. But here we see Paul's faith. He's not over-promising. He's not going to tell you exactly the way things are. He's letting you know that even the Apostle Paul is not going to presume on the total will of God. It is his desire to send Timothy. It's his hope. It's what he desires. And he's going to trust God to work all of that out. And that's something that we can all learn from. Okay? It is Paul showing us that we can have certain ideas of how we want things to go, but he is going to trust in God's perfect timing, God's perfect will in terms of how Timothy gets there and when Timothy gets there. He says that I may be encouraged when I know your state. Paul wanted to send Timothy. He wanted to send his best to the Philippian church, so that he could be encouraged as he sits in a Roman prison, okay? And he wants to send his best to the Philippian church to care for them, to love them, to get a report from them. And he has an expectation that he is going to be encouraged by what he sees from the Philippian church. I love that the Apostle Paul, who has been given such great authority as an apostle, he thinks the best of his brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says, I'm going to send Timothy to you that I might be encouraged. And that's not always been the experience of Paul, has it? We know as we read 1 Corinthians, especially in 2 Corinthians, sometimes Paul has to be more of the fatherly figure, where there's a lot of correction and a lot of discipline and a lot of words of, kind of strong words to get the ship back going in the right direction. And yet that is not his anticipation for the Philippian church. He has a positive outlook, and what a contrast that is with some of the other churches that he has dealt with. And he says, Timothy will care for you. Timothy is going to show you a true pastor's heart. And what I love here with what Paul says, and I know, like I said, some of this may seem a little more table setting this morning, but he says, I'm going to send to you not just somebody that is, if they're with me, that's fine, or if they're not with me, that's fine. I'm going to send you Timothy. I'm going to send my best to care for you. That is the Christian way. That is the way that followers of Jesus should always be. We always lead with our best. We always send our best. We always hope the best for those that we are ministering to. That's something at the way. Now, it may seem a little bit funny now, and this is all God's timing and God's will. Kind of like Paul says, I earnestly hope to do this. That's really where we're at the way, even in our infancy. We don't know what God's will is for this church, but it's our hope that as we grow, that we would be able to minister to other areas, help other churches, maybe even help start other churches. And you need to know something, that it is baked into the DNA of this tiny little church, that we would raise up leaders. I know that's in the heart of Pastor Dave. That's in my heart. That's in many of our, you know, visions and just our mindsets to see pastors and leaders and mature Christian families raised up. And part of that will be to send them. Now, that sounds good, and that is good, but it's not easy to do because we're gonna pour ourselves out seeing this fellowship grow. But the gospel demands that we don't just hold on to people, even though we might get very close with them, that we would raise up pastors and, again, Christian families, leaders, and ultimately, as God leads, send them and send our best. Okay. Paul recognized how rare this was. What did he say? He said, let's read that verse again here. He says, I have nobody like Timothy. I have nobody like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. This is Pastor Timothy. We read in 1 Timothy the qualifications of a pastor, a man that has a pastor's heart and a pastor's character. And he says, I'm going to let him leave me. Paul, it was probably really nice to have Timothy with him as he was on house arrest and in prison. But he says, I'm sending him to the Philippian church. Why? Because the gospel demands that. He says, I have nobody like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. That's one of the things I love about Pastor Dave. And we're still figuring things out. We're still figuring out the team being built. We're still figuring certain things out. But one thing that we don't have to figure out is that Pastor Dave has genuine concern for this church. And I have genuine concern. And really, I feel that from all different parts of the Way Church. People care about each other. They want to help other people. They want to be there for other people. We'll see that grow even more. He says, I have nobody like him who is genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. There are lots of people that do not have your best interest in mind. Timothy is going to have a gospel, Jesus-centered concern and genuine love for this Philippian church. Back to our text, Philippians 2:23. Paul says, I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. When you study the life of Paul, of course, 2,000 years in there, or going on 2,000 years after he wrote these letters, I mean, of course, he is just 10 feet tall to the church. God used him in some of the most powerful ways possible. But when Paul was actually living, there were great rivals to his ministry, people that would undermine his ministry. That's what some of his letters are about. Not the main thing, but he highlights those, how people talk against him and try to undermine him. They try to be superior to him, okay? And so there could have been how the rumor mill goes, well, Paul doesn't even want to come to see the Philippians, so he's just going to send little Timothy, or he's just going to send Epaphroditus. But Paul, he just wants to stay in Rome. Yeah, he's going to get out of prison. We don't know exactly, but very likely that could be part of why Paul wrote this in this letter. He said, he wants them to know that, yes, I'm going to send ambassadors. I'm going to send our best. I'm going to send people to care for this church. But I want you to know that my hope, again, I can't promise you. I can't tell you exactly. It's like the Word of God says, if the Lord wills, we'll do such and such. If God opens the door, we'll do such and such. But we want to be careful not to just start saying, this is exactly what God's going to do. I'm definitely coming to see you guys. Paul doesn't know, but he wants them to know that if that's in the rumor mill, that Paul doesn't really want to come to the little Philippian church. Why? He's in Rome. I mean, he's in Grand Central Station. Why would he want to leave Rome if he can get out of prison? Wouldn't he want to stay there and get a big mega church going? That's where the center of life was. No. Paul says, I trust in the Lord. I have faith in God. I trust my hope, my ambition, my desire. If I have my way, I will come and see you shortly. Okay, again, Paul's careful not to overpromise. As believers, we want to read that. We want to see that. We want to think the best and give our best effort, but at the end of the day, we're trusting in God's plan for our lives, not over-promising, under-promising, and over-delivering. But yet, at the same time, we should dream. We should have goals. I think we should make tentative plans, all under the sovereignty of God. I think it's good that we have, and we read about this the other week, that we have godly ambition. We don't have selfish ambition, but we have godly ambition. I think it's good for us as a small church today to think about what tomorrow might look like, to think about what we can do possibly. But again, just like Paul, if God enables us, if it's God's perfect will, always under God's lead. Back to our text, Philippians 2:25. Paul says, I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. So I think that is a strong indication. Now, this is awesome. I think that's a strong indication that this second person that Paul highlights. See, Paul's not a ball hog. Paul's not all about Paul. Paul's not trying to build his own name. He's going to also highlight this brother in Christ, Epaphroditus. And when he says, I thought it necessary to send Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, I think there is a very strong chance that when Paul wrote this letter, he's writing this letter, he probably folded it up and handed it to Epaphroditus. It says, I need you to take this to the Philippian church. And by the way, I want this to be circulated, okay? And so we see this guy, you're not going to read a book of the Bible written by Epaphroditus. There's not a ton of Bible verses that mention this person's name, and especially none that you would see on a t-shirt or anything like that. But yet, Paul is writing this letter, and he says, I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. And why is it so necessary? Because he's going to take this inspired letter that God had Paul write to the church, the Philippian church, and then all, the whole church, and he hands it to him. Epaphroditus came to Paul from the Philippians as a messenger, and then he became sick. And Paul says, I found it necessary to send him back to you because I want you to see that he got very sick. He laid it all on the line for the gospel. And I want you to see that he's doing much better. And we hear about that stuff nowadays. And somebody, they might get sick. And it can be very, very serious. But it was extremely serious 2,000 years ago. Where they didn't have the technology, the advancements in medicine, things of this nature. I mean, you could die from all kinds of things way back then, okay? And Paul says, it is so important that I sent him to you. And what does Paul say? He says three very important highlighting aspects of how he feels about Epaphroditus. Three special relationships that as we think of the church, as we think of our brothers and sisters in Christ, I think these are great things for us to think about. One to another, brothers and sisters in Christ. And first, he calls him brother. He says, Epaphroditus is a dear brother. That speaks to the relationship that God wants us to have with each other. When you see a fellow brother or sister in Christ, you should view them as spiritual family. There's something, and maybe you have all experienced this as well. I know I have. You know, you get to talking to somebody. Maybe you run into somebody at the store or you're out and about and somehow the topic of Jesus comes up and they tell you, oh my goodness, yeah, you know, I go to such and such a church. I've been following Jesus for most of my life. And there's almost immediately this bond that we should feel. And I know that feeling. Okay, there's this immediate relatability. They are following Christ. They might go to a different denomination. They might be a little bit different than us, and we might be different from them, but we when we think of a fellow Christian, we think of that brother or sister in Christ. Paul says Epaphroditus is a dear brother. Secondly, he's a dear worker. He's our brother. He's a worker. He wants them to know that he came here and he ministered to me. He came from the Philippian church to Paul in prison. And yes, he got sick. Yes, he got sidelined. Do any of us know what that's like? We, again, it's going back to he intended to come and serve Paul probably a lot more than he even did. But what he did not know is that he was going to come to really knock it on death's door, and he almost died. And yet Paul says he is a fellow cherished worker. It's another great descriptive word for followers of Christ. Being busy, being busy, being a worker, getting our hands dirty in the ministry. And I reached out to some of you this week about, you know, there's not like a ton of things to do right now at the way, but there are some things. And passing the ball more, that's a great soapbox that Pastor Dave is on. Pass the ball, get people involved. It doesn't have to just be such and such a person or this person or that person. And as we grow, there'll be more opportunities. But just know, it's a godly thing to be looked at as a worker for Christ. Epaphroditus is a brother in Christ. He's a worker for Christ, and he calls him a soldier. A soldier that is ready to fight for Jesus spiritually. Somebody that views themselves in the service of a great king. And again, I want us to have that mindset. You know, soldiers, they stay on focus. That's what a good soldier does. A soldier doesn't go rogue. A soldier doesn't go into business for themselves. A soldier doesn't look for problems where there's not problems. A soldier is solely devoted to the honor of their leader, solely devoted to the mission of their king or their leader. And I want you to know that we need to view ourselves as good soldiers like Epaphroditus. We are in a spiritual war. We are in a spiritual fight for our soul here in the United States. And we don't have to succumb to anything. I don't want us to be that way. I know there's darkness. I know there's a fight going on. I know there's a war. And we're jumping head in. And that starts with us when we leave this place. You know, I mean, it starts even right now while we're here. But as we go, we have a mindset of a soldier. What are the marching orders of our king? What does he have for us? Are we going to go and start fighting with people? No, because our king says you are a soldier, but your battle is not physical. It is not with flesh and blood. It is spiritual. And Epaphroditus was a great, great soldier for Jesus Christ. And Paul says that Epaphroditus, he ministered to me. And that word has this idea of priestly service. We think of we're not thinking of Roman Catholicism. We're thinking Old Testament, priestly service, okay? Epaphroditus originally came to do priestly service to Paul, says, and minister to my need, which probably means the Philippians, which was a generous church family, brought financial resources to Paul as he couldn't work, couldn't provide for himself. He says, this is a man that you need to greatly love and respect. He says here, because you heard that he was sick. Epaphroditus was concerned because the Philippians learned of his sickness and they were genuinely worried about him. We have sicknesses today. There's some very dangerous ones, obviously. But, you know, think about if you couldn't get on Facebook to get the status update. Oh, the surgery went great. Surgery was great. I'm recovering. I'll be home. It's actually the person that had surgery sometimes. I'm fine. Don't ever let people take pictures of me if I'm in the hospital. I'll know where my wife is. She might be in the back there. But some people, they take selfies in the hospital. Don't do that to me. Please don't do that to me if I end up in the hospital. You know, but they didn't know. I mean, all they heard through the grapevine probably months after. Oh, my gosh. We sent Epaphroditus with a financial gift. And oh, my gosh, we heard that he was sick. We heard that he could die. And you know, you're going months, maybe. maybe in between, like, well, what happened? You know, they couldn't just pick up the phone. They couldn't get on Facebook. They couldn't send a text message. Okay. Paul says, because you heard that he was sick, Epaphroditus was concerned. Here he is. He was the sick one. And he's concerned that he has stressed out this Philippian church. He's concerned that he is causing them to worry about him, or that they're having anxiety or all of these things. So Epaphroditus coming to them, hey guys, I'm good. Like, I actually just came all the way here to see you, would give them peace of mind. Do you see the love? Do you see why I said in the beginning, there's no real one bombastic verse that we can really just camp out in this. This is just kind of a beautiful portion of scripture where we see the love of the family of God one to another. And our prayer at the way needs to be that we can develop this even more and more. Epaphroditus was knocking on death's door, but who is he concerned about? He's concerned about this church. And I always think of Jesus, who went, as he was going to the cross, as he was going to bear the sins of the world, how Jesus was so concerned the night before his arrest that his followers, that his disciples, that their hearts would not be troubled. You see, this is the heart of Jesus. This is how you know you're growing in your walk with Christ, when you can start to view people the way Jesus does. That's what it means to be a disciple. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ, is when we think like Jesus, when we live like Jesus, when we start thinking, and we read this a week or two ago, more highly of somebody other than ourselves. That is the Jesus way. And that's the Epaphroditus way, as he's following Christ. Philippians 2:27, as we keep moving forward. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Here we've got Epaphroditus leaving the Philippian church. Remember, the church of Philippi would be modern-day Greece. And he's coming with a financial gift for Paul. And he's, of course, a sinner saved by grace, just like every one of us. But Epaphroditus is right there, it seems like, right in the middle of God's will. He's doing what God has asked him to do. He's leaving this church. He's going to visit Paul. There could have been even danger just even in doing that, because Paul's in prison. He's not a rock star. Like, we think of Paul in prison, we're like, man, Paul should be like the president of the United States or something. But he's going to a man that is going to be going before Caesar, because he appealed to go to Caesar. And here comes Epaphroditus, and he's right in the middle of God's will. And what happens? He gets sick. He comes close to death. How many times have we followed Christ and we feel like we're trying to do? We know it's not perfect. You got to just preface that one time. I'm never going to do this perfectly. I'm never going to follow him perfectly. We strive. We course correct. We study. And we should never use that as an excuse for anything. But we understand God is perfect. We are not. We never serve him perfectly. We can't. Jesus did that for us, and we're in him. Okay? But generally speaking, I mean, we're going to church, and we're praying, and we're trying to get into God's word every day, at least for a little bit, maybe a passage, maybe a chapter. You know, we're trying to love people. We're trying to invite people to church. We're trying to help people that might be in need. You know, and all of a sudden, it seems like sometimes in this life, I mean, the more faithful we get, the worse things seem to get. Has anybody ever felt like that? I know I have felt like that. Yes. You know, man, God, I mean, we're not perfect, and I certainly could be a better teacher, and there's better things we could do. But, man, you know, sometimes you think about, I mean, just let it grow. Let this thing grow. Like, we're actually reading the Bible, which sometimes doesn't happen, you know. And it seems like, man, like, can't this thing just grow? Or can't we just see more and more people come? And God, he has done that, hasn't he? You know, a few weeks ago, I was talking to Chase and Chris. I mean, man, what a turnout we had at that outdoor service. And I bet you it'll be like that next week, too. And it's growing no matter what we're we're doing. And sometimes we just get so fixated on the negatives. But here Epaphroditus, he's coming to Rome. He's coming to minister to Paul. He's coming with a financial gift. He's coming to serve the man that started this church. And what happens? He gets sick. He gets derailed. He could have even possibly been embarrassed because, you know, he was given this great responsibility from the Philippian church. You go and you be our hands and feet to Paul. And he's laid up in a room somewhere, sick, doing nothing at some points. He was almost dead. And he may have felt a lot of shame and a lot of regret and a lot of embarrassment. Like, they sent me here and I can't even do what I came to do. And I want to let you know something, guys. Listen, we live under the sovereign goodness of God. He is a great orchestra conductor. And when I look at an orchestra conductor, they're doing all this stuff, and I don't understand almost any of it. And we look at how God is doing things, and we understand sometimes none of it. And yet we need to understand that God is sovereign. He has reasons for why he allows things to happen. And there are some that come in the name of Christ that will tell you that you should never get sick if you're in the middle of God's will. A lot of them are on Christian TV. And a lot of them, we need to run for our lives.
True.
And I can almost promise you, if you go to the Christian bookstores, you're not going to find a best-selling Christian book that tells you about how you could be right in the middle of God's will and be sick as a dog, or going through the valley of the shadow of death. You can probably find those books. They're just like in the bargain bin because nobody reads them. And we should read them. So don't ever let people tell you that. Just because you're going through a valley, just because you struggle with an illness, just because you're going through tumultuous times, that you are not in the middle of God's will. And I say that to you as a pastor to warn us, to educate us, just to put it on our radar, that not everyone that comes in the name of Christ is teaching you the truth. Well, if you aren't you living the abundant life? Aren't you walking in God's favor? Didn't Jesus say that by your stripes you will be healed? Why are you sick? You should never go through these things. And yet Jesus Christ walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Sure. Jesus Christ walked through the trials of his life. Jesus Christ was homeless at one point. Jesus Christ was abandoned by all. There's no indication that this healing that came to Epaphroditus came miraculously. You see, we should come to God, and he can heal anybody. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But there's no indication that the Apostle Paul just laid hands on him and he recovered. You would think that Paul may have mentioned that if he did. Hey, I laid hands on him, he recovered. It wouldn't be the first time Paul did something like that. But no, he got better by gradual healing. Maybe he took medicine. Maybe he just rested. We don't know exactly. But what does Paul say here? He says, God had mercy on Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus is a great brother in Christ, but we all die. And you know, and for God to send healing miraculously, for God to heal somebody in a moment in time, which can happen, and we should pray for it.
Yes.
But we should also know that God does not always do that, does he? God has mercy on us when we're taking medicine. God has mercy on us when we take treatment. God has mercy on us anytime that we recover from any kind of an illness or make it through any kind of a storm. And Paul wants the Philippian church to recognize that it is God's mercy that restored him. He wasn't cursed by God. He wasn't cursed because he got sick. That's just life. It's like we say, it's earth. We live in this world where we get sick. And yet Paul says, God had mercy on him. And Paul's reminding us that when we do make it through these storms, and by the way, even when we die, if we're in Christ, that's the ultimate mercy. Where we get it wrong. We kind of sometimes think we should maybe feel bad for those that have died in Christ. And of course, we miss them, but they are not trading places with us. To put it to you like that. I don't know what Lazarus thought. You ever think, what if Lazarus like, yeah, I made it. Oh, man, I served Jesus. I served God. And all of a sudden, God, Jesus said, hey, no, you ain't done yet. Get back. We're going to run this one back.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Jesus, you do whatever you want. That's good. Our healing is not owed to anyone, but we can come to God and seek his mercy and ask him to heal and ask him to minister and to understand that just like Epaphroditus, God has a plan in the midst of our trials. I also want us to note one thing here too, as we get ready to wrap up, the human nature of Paul. And again, I know me, I grew up in the church, and most of this I think is very healthy and good. But I mean, sometimes we think of the Apostle Paul as like Superman. Like, I never fear, I never have anxiety, I never get sad, I just write books of the Bible, and I know more than everybody, and nothing, you know, count it all joy and all these things. And yet he doesn't always probably do that, because he battles sadness. He battles anxiety, as we're going to see here in a second. And that's, again, that's not an excuse to, hey, go ahead and be anxious, it's okay, because Paul did it. But it does tell us to rest in that mercy of God, because he would have been so sad if Epaphroditus would have died. And that's normal human emotions. Let's conclude here. Philippians 2:28. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. Paul was anxious? Paul had anxiety, but doesn't he know Jesus said not to do that? Yeah, Paul knew that better than any of us, I'm sure. And Paul echoes that in other parts of this letter that we're going to get to. I think Pastor Dave gets to do some of those here in a few weeks. So I saved some really good ones for you. I set it up on the tee for you, man. God ordered that. But yeah, he's going to tell us, don't be anxious. And yet he's saying here, man, it is going to relieve some of my anxiety. It's going to make me less anxious when I see him back with you. So receive him in the Lord with all joy. Hallelujah. I want you to see him who was on his deathbed. God had mercy on him. And when that Christian fellowship comes back together, I want you to receive him with all joy. Thanking God that he brought this dear brother in Christ back to you. Honor such men. Remember we said a minute ago, there could have been rumors or murmuring. Man, he went there and he got sick. He supposedly got sick and he didn't do half the things he said he was going to do. Or because he got sick, maybe he didn't get to do all the things that we wanted him to do for Paul. He says, you honor such men. This man, as Paul said in our section last week, he poured himself out like a drink offering for me and ultimately for Christ.
Yes.
Again, we see that human side of Paul. It's no excuse to live in anxiety, but I will tell you this, that when we fall into anxiety, and there are some things in this life that make it easy to fall into that, we rest in the mercy of God with that. Paul assured them that this man was your hands and feet. He was you all couldn't come with him. Obviously, you can't just like all leave and come and minister to Paul. But he was your hands and your feet to minister to me. And he went beyond the call to me. Philippians 2:34. He nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. We talked about this in Philemon. He wrote this in the same time frame when he wrote Philemon. He also wrote Philippians, Colossians, and Ephesians. And there's, and rightfully so, you can imagine how much Paul meant to this church, how much they wished they could have helped him, give him food in prison, give him a blanket, help him with whatever he might need help with. And he's saying, just so you all know, that's what Epaphroditus did on your behalf to me. He completed what was lacking in your service to me. Honor such men. What can we learn from Epaphroditus and Timothy as well? Well, the name of our series is this: to live is Christ. This life is for Christ. Paul is letting them know that Epaphroditus and Timothy as well, they have resigned themselves to knowing that to live is Christ in this life. Epaphroditus laid it all out. He almost died doing ministry to Paul, obeying God. We never stop living for Christ. And I just want to close this morning as Pastor Dave, and if Lori wants to come up, I just want to end today with this beautiful portion of Scripture. I want to challenge us to think about that. What are we living for? What would we die for? What are we pouring ourselves out for here at the Way Church, but ultimately for Jesus Christ? Do we have a mindset like Epaphroditus? You know, sometimes I think it's interesting, of course, nobody knows, but, you know, what would Paul say if he was thinking about the lives that we're living for Jesus? And ultimately, what would Jesus say? And these would be great things for him to say, you know, that we are willing to pour ourselves out, just like Epaphroditus did for the Apostle Paul, and ultimately for God. So I hope that was an encouragement to you guys this week. It's a little bit different than normal. A little bit, like I said, just this nice tucked in portion of Scripture that shows us the heart of Jesus and the heart that we should have for brothers and sisters